It's out there. If you know a treasure is buried somewhere, it's intriguing, even though you might not know exactly where. There are people who have spent a good deal of their lives looking for certain treasures or any treasure, and so there's just an intriguing thing about it. But Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, Hebrews 1, 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all what? Ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So ministering spirits, the word minister means servant. So, you know, if you call someone a minister, it's not some lofty title like reverend. I don't like people to refer to me as reverend. A lot of times if someone's ordained into the ministry, they'll say, well, that's reverend so-and-so. But the Bible says holy and reverend is his name, not our names. So we're just brothers and sisters in Christ is what we are. But angels, God created angels to be ministering spirits, so serving spirits. And of course, a spirit is one that we can't see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones like we have. So we can't see angels unless they appear unto us. But they are there. They're out there. It's interesting, as people have forsaken the word of God and rejected that there is God and angels out there, interestingly, there's kind of a resurgence now when they see that evolution after all these years cannot be proven. And so some of them now are leaning toward, you know what? It's true. The earth and mankind, animals, and everything in this universe are so complex. Must be it's aliens that did it. So now some of them are just saying, well, yeah, aliens visited this place many years ago, much higher than we are. And isn't it something how they reject God? They'll reject God, but they'll believe in aliens. And how sad. I mean, we've got the book right here that tells about God the Creator. My dad has a book out about that right now, The Creator Speaks. And the Bible tells us about our Creator. The Bible tells us about angels. The Bible tells us about life out there. And the Bible tells us about life for us after this point, for the saved in heaven, the lost in hell. And yet they scoff at it, they reject it. But now when they see things so complex, they'll say, oh, it must be aliens out there. How sad. So what about this study of angels? So God sent them, or created them, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? How many of you have ever had what you would consider possibly a close call with death? Anyone? Okay, several of you. I've told you many times, but I was riding in a car once where someone was going way over the speed limit, couldn't stop, and flew across M57. And I wondered if that was going to be it for me. And my family and I were going, I think it was on a Thursday night, when we lived out on Wabasas Road, and we were coming this way. And on Morgan Mills, an elderly man coming from the south stopped at M57. It was dark. And just the evening, though, and he stopped, and then the car just inched out a little bit, and I wondered if he was going to go. Well, he inched out, stopped, and then he pulled right out in front of us. And it was when we had our big old station wagons, and I didn't see any way we were going to miss him. And so I slammed on the brakes and went sideways a little bit left, and then he just kept coming right out, and so then I went where he was, kind of in there. Well, he's pulling out. I don't know how much we missed. It couldn't have been by the tiniest of inches. And now I'm looking at a curb, you know, the roads with a cement curb out. And so I'm looking at that now, and now I'm skidding right. My rear of my car is skidding right, and, you know, if you're skidding sideways and you hit a curb at 55 miles an hour, you're going to roll. And So anyway, the car then swung back. And then those of you who have ever been out of control like that, you know, once you get that swinging motion, it's hard to get it stopped. You know, you're steering this way, and you're steering that way, and you're steering this way. And anyway, we didn't hit him. All I remember is this old man, you know, looking at us out of his window, and he's probably wondering what's happening, and we're wondering what is going on in your mind, you know. And so we ended up along the side of the road of M57, didn't hit anything. And I have no doubt there were some angels involved in that. And who knows how many times angels have protected us from things. You know, just some maybe an accident that happened just before you got someplace. So they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So they are our unseen helpers, and we need them because we have an unseen enemy. You know, when 9-1-1 happened and the Twin Towers were hit and the Pentagon was hit and the plane went down in Pennsylvania, people were suddenly saying, oh no, we have an unseen enemy. You know, this enemy infiltrated into our country, and this enemy doesn't wear uniforms, and so we don't know who they are. Well, notice with me in Ephesians chapter 6, you know what? Mankind has always had an unseen enemy. But the Bible tells us about the unseen enemy. In Ephesians 6:10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in who? In the Lord, and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. And you see, a spirit being does not have flesh and blood. And we wrestle not against them physically, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, there have been certain incidents that have happened around the globe where people have been attacked by a means that we don't fully understand and don't understand how to deflect the attack. It's got to be some type of electronic, some type of unseen beam of something they can point at people and just, I don't know all the effects that it has upon them, but it can just leave them really harmed nonetheless. And, of course, you know, the United States started a space force because of that very reason. We can't see those satellites up there. And some of them, whether they have lasers on or some other type of apparatus, we're told that our power grid is so vulnerable. And don't we know it from this last week? But I mean, they say they can detonate a certain type of bomb over a country that will just wipe out, it'll overload the power, our power grid, and just blow it up. And obviously, we probably have the same type of equipment we could do to their countries as well. But maybe that's why in the end time that it's horses come against Israel, armies on horses instead of armies and tanks and planes. I don't know what all the Lord's going to allow to happen, but we have an unseen enemy. So verse 13, wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So God created angels to help and protect us. And what about children? Now let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. How many of you have ever thought in your mind or said it out loud, you know, it's a miracle that children ever live to be old? All the bumps and knocks and things that happen to them, all the dangerous things that they get into that, you know, we didn't have time to stop them or we didn't know exactly where they were at that moment. The Bible tells us here about angels protecting children. Notice in Matthew 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called what? A little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Except, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as what? Little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, sometimes we discount what children understand. There's one of the little tykes around here. It's been quite a few months ago, maybe even a year ago, that we were praying. And I heard just one of these little tykes pray. And sometimes I might read the bulletin and announcements. And I think sometimes that's a cue just to put our minds in neutral. It's announcement time. And I think sometimes we just think about other things. Because later sometimes people say, well, what about this or that? And I'll say, yeah, it's in the bulletin. I read it. You did? Sometimes then I think about these little tykes. I think, I wonder where their minds are. If we as adults, if our minds are wandering and thinking about something else, I think, what about these little tykes? And so we went out to pray when we separated to pray one time. And this little tyke was praying about things. I thought, wow, this child actually was listening. And this child comprehended it because this child is praying about that thing now. And so let's not discount what little children can understand. They can be converted. They can be saved, verse 3. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is what? Greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that what? A millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were what? Drowned in the depth of the sea. Think of Jonah. Jonah did not want to go preach to the Ninevites because he was afraid the Ninevites would repent and get saved. You may say, what preacher wouldn't want to see a great whole city revived and awakened, saved? Well, the Ninevites were so wicked. They did things I won't even describe. They were so wicked, and Jonah literally hated them. He wanted God to judge them. And, that's kind of a thing we should take a self-review too, shouldn't we? Are there any people groups or individuals? Are there any individuals? I don't know if you read about it, but I just caught a news headline. I didn't read the whole story, but there were two men in a jail cell. I don't know what the one man was in there for, but the other man was in there for brutally molesting this man's sister. I think it was sister. And this man asked to be switched to a different cell, and they didn't do it. And so he killed the other man right in the jail cell. Maybe some of you read it. He killed the other man. So there are all kinds of horrible things. So that man hated the man that had molested his sister. And Jonah hated the people of Nineveh because of what they had done to Israel and others. So verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I wonder how many unsaved parents have just mocked and ridiculed little children that have made a profession of faith. I know for a fact a man did that to his wife. His wife got saved in a meeting, and it was a relative of mine, actually, and he just brutally mocked her for making that decision for Christ, and it just devastated her. And she was so excited, but it just devastated her. So When it comes to children, in fact, I wrote that same man years later, and I told him, I gave him this verse, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Pretty strong language, isn't it? But the Lord has, as we go on then, verse 10. It says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Well, what little ones are we talking about? Well, we're talking about little ones in this passage here that have received Christ. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, they're what? They're angels. Do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, sometimes people talk about guardian angels. Do we have guardian angels? Well, the Bible's very clear here. Children do. Not just one, but several. It says they're angels. Do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And I just wonder, remember Balaam and his donkey? Remember what the angels were doing in that situation? I just wonder how many people have mocked little children and faced consequences that they don't have any idea that God sent an angel to do something. God protects these little precious children. Our time is getting away from us fast here, but so number one there, God created angels to help and protect us. God created angels to help and protect us. But number two, God's angels are to be appreciated but not worshiped. God's angels are to be appreciated but never worshiped. Notice in Colossians 2. Colossians 2. We have examples in the scripture of people that did try to worship angels. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of who? Angels. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding who? The head, and it's capitalized, speaking of Christ, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So verse 18 warns us, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. God says we're intruding into an area that we haven't seen, and God forbids us to worship angels. You know, it's just kind of natural for a man, you know, if you know there's beings out there, spirit beings that are protecting you, it's just kind of man's nature to try to communicate. You know, it's like we have sent probes out in deep into space with plaques on them saying, we are man. We are from the planet Earth. And, you know, a lot of space exploration has been done by scientists to try to find out our beginnings. Now, that part of space exploration is what? Foolish. We have our beginnings right here recorded. We don't have to spend millions of dollars to find that out. Now, on the other hand, I know that because of space exploration, electronics has been greatly helped because everything had to be miniaturized to try to fit in a space capsule. And so that whole thing has spawned electronics and smaller and smaller and smaller. So, I mean, that's been a good thing in that sense. But the problem is man, apart from the Bible, will try to communicate with angels. And, you know, that's why, you know, in the prayer list that we have, it starts right out with a lot of scripture. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are being said about our country right now about something's going to happen at a certain date, and something's going to happen at a certain date. And I was talking to my wife about this. You know, there's a lot of people that have visions and different things. And you know what? They're not spending the proper time in the Word of God. Because, you know, we can pray and we can have all kinds of ideas. But you know what? If God doesn't confirm it in His Word, you know, then we could be getting off into an area of error. And so the reason I say that is because there are a lot of books out right now about contemplation and prayer. Is they're teaching people, okay, when you pray, you should just empty your mind of all thoughts. Well, number one, we can't empty our mind of all thoughts. It's filled with thoughts. But when they put themselves in like a hypnotic state, what happens many times is they start communicating with some being out there, and it's not God. God will communicate to us through His Word. And so what happens, these people, they're not meditating on the Word of God. They're just trying to empty their minds. Well, if you try to empty your mind, you know what? Satan would love to fill it. He did Ananias and Sapphira, didn't he? Notice with me in Acts chapter 5. You know, Satan cannot indwell us. And I don't understand all about the mind, but Satan can put thoughts and ideas in our minds. In Acts 5, verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath who? Satan filled what? Thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came on all them that heard these things." So Peter said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So you know what? When we pray, it's not an exercise in emptying our minds and hoping someone will fill it. And of course, these people say, I just don't want my will to be done. I want God's will to be done. Yes, that is true. But God never tells us to empty our minds. He tells us to meditate on His Word. So that's how God leads us. So beware of all those books. It's really popular right now in contemplative prayer, emptying your mind. No, we need to fill our mind with Scripture is what we need to do. That's how God will lead us. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 2 there. Colossians 2. So the Bible warns us about not worshiping angels. So we know that temptation is going to try to come along. Let's look at Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Yes, angels are real. Yes, angels help us. But no, we are not to try to contact them. If you've ever been in a formal, like, township setting where they follow rules of order, you're never supposed, if you are part of the audience, you're never supposed to address, while you're talking, you're never supposed to address anyone else in the audience. You are supposed to be talking to the chair, whoever it is. It might be the supervisor or whoever. And when we first started dealing with the old church building, and I went to a township meeting, or actually a city Well, I've been to both, but I guess what I'm thinking about was actually dealing with this building, and it was actually at the Planning Commission, and so I'm trying to raise my hand. You know, I'm thinking school. You know, when you're in school, you don't just blurt something out; you raise your hand. And so I'm raising my hand to say something, and they're just ignoring me. And so the man that was helping us, he was the zoning administrator. He kind of leaned over and whispered to me, "Well, this is how you do that. You know, you just don't raise your hand and wait to be called on. Even though townships may do that, but in that particular case, they were sticklers, I guess, on following the rules of order. So we're not told to communicate with these angels. Judges 13:15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto who?
The Lord.
The Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? We know the names of very few angels. Michael the archangel, Gabriel. But we're not given a list. And yet there's thousands and thousands of angels, the Bible tells us. Innumerable, to a company of innumerable angels. We don't know their names, and that's by design, because God doesn't want us, when something happens, God doesn't want us to say, well, thank you, so-and-so angel. You know, it's kind of like the Catholic folks who are trained to pray to what they call departed saints. God doesn't want us praying to anyone but Him, not to departed saints, not to angels, but to Him alone. So his name was secret. It wasn't told to him. Notice in Revelation 19 and verse 9. We're talking about the Apostle John here. And he said, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I, this is talking about John, I fell at his feet, that's the angel's feet, to worship him. And he said unto me, what?
See thou do it not.
I am what?
Thy fellow servant.
You know what? We serve God. Angels serve God. The angel said, hey, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. And then what did he say?
Worship God.
For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. People prophesying about this and that, listen, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. These prophecies were about the coming of Christ and what would happen after that. One last passage here, Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 6. Revelation 22:6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent who?
His
angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to what? To worship before the feet of who? The angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, what?
See thou do it not.
For I am what? There it is again. I am thy fellow servant. Listen, you're serving God. I'm serving God. Don't fall down and worship me. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And then what did he say?
Worship God.
We are not to pray to angels. We are not to try to get communication going with angels. We are to worship God. Yes, angels are our helpers. Hebrews 1:14, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But God wants them anonymous helpers. Most of the time, they do not appear. Throughout the scripture, relatively very few times did angels actually appear to mankind. And that's by design, because God doesn't want us worshiping them. They are our helpers. Do we go around bowing down to policemen? No, but they are our helpers. Do every time we see a person in an army or air force or navy uniform, do we bow down to them? No, but they are our helpers. Our helpers in trying to defend freedom and to protect this land. So God wants us to focus on Him. All communication is to be with Him. He is the head. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us. Lord, we thank You for angels. We thank You that You have put these unseen helpers out there for us. We know we have an unseen enemy, many unseen enemies. But we thank You that You have Your angels out there to protect us, to help us. And we thank You for that. And Lord, we do worship You. We do not seek communication with angels. We seek communication with You. Lord, we want to please You. And we know that Your angels want to please You as well. And I pray today that we would worship You in spirit and in truth. May we not be here to worship or impress or anyone else. But Lord, may we be here united in one to worship and praise You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service start in about 7-8 minutes.